Hey, Matt, do you know people hate advertisements in their podcasts?
That's not true. That can't be true. That's not true.
I don't think it's true because we have advertisements in our podcast like Amazon.com, and people love our podcast and they never say anything about the ads.
Well, they love Amazon.com too, because who doesn't?
True. I mean, you could, for example, you can go to predictablydrunk.com and click on the Amazon link. It'll take you to Amazon.com and you can do all of your regular shopping with no hidden fees or no, you know, extra charges or anything like that. But, you know, it's crazy to me that people think that they don't like advertisements. Like, how do they think that we actually do all this? Like, how can we afford all that beer that we're going to review here in a couple of minutes without having advertising money that's rolling in from places like Amazon.com?
This is how the economy works, people. It's a goddamn shame that we're having to explain it to you this late in the game. Sponsorship equals money. Money equals beer. Beer equals this show that you love so much. Get it together. Click on the link, go to Amazon, shop your face off. The holidays are coming up. Shop your face off twice. Amazon.com, great sponsor.
Exactly. And you can get there by going to predictablydrunk.com. And basically, you guys can go buy economics books and figure out how the world works, because you guys that don't like advertising and commercials need to read something. And I guarantee there's probably an ad in those books that you're going to buy on Amazon.com by way of predictablydrunk.com.
Also, buy me something.
Buy Matt something. You should buy Matt something. And you know what? Buy me something, too. Buy Sam and Matt something.
We're so giving.
Amazon. Yeah, we give you free content. We give you recommendations on beer.
Give back.
We talk about movies and stupid drunken news and bring you interviews with people. It's a fantastic show. And all we ask is that you go to predictablydrunk.com, click on the link, and go do your shopping like you normally would. No hidden fees, no extra charges. All they do is give us a couple extra dollars off all the money that you spend over there because we reminded you to do your shopping. That's it. That's all you got to do.
We love you. Please do that.
Now that it's over, we can go on to the show, and you're only going to hear like one more commercial, and then you're going to get like an hour's worth of content.
Yeah.
So let's just play the music. Let's find Ross Baker, let him do his announcement, and then we'll get the show started.
You're listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things with your host, Sam Marcoux and Matt Somerville.
All right, predictably drunk, smart people, stupid things, Sam Marcoux, Matt Somerville, and
yep.
This show right here is going to be a doozy, ladies and gentlemen. Not only do we have just a fantastic story for stupid drunken news where a man barricades himself inside of his house in Maryland after a family member eats part of his grilled cheese sandwich and he pulls a gun. That will be coming up in stupid drunken news.
Anyone would do that.
Yeah, I think even before reading the story, it seems like a justifiable attempted homicide, but we're going to have to read the story to find out the full truth on that one, Matt. Also coming up, we have just a fantastic interview with fellow comedian Abel Jaramillo, which if you guys heard the show last week where Matt Somerville was not in one but two car accidents, Abel Jaramillo went and one-upped him, I do believe, by not only getting into a car accident, but getting into a car accident with a pedestrian on the freeway. That's right. You heard that correctly, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned for that interview during Happy Hour, where Abel Jaramillo talks about him hitting a man on the freeway and then letting you know how and just how it's even possible that he's out and not in any sort of trouble with the law at this
crazy
current
story.
Time. It's a very crazy story. It's you'll hear that coming up on Happy Hour. But like we always do here on Predictably Drunk, our favorite part of the show is right now, where we tell you what's on tap. We review some beers. Matt will review one. I will review one. We'll tell you whether it's good or not. And you guys can go and make your selections accordingly. So, Matt, what is on tap for you tonight?
Well, I'm always trying to look for good beer. You don't go to the store looking for shitty beer, but sometimes you come across one. And I think it's fair for us to not just limit our reviews to the good beers that we find. It's also a good thing for us to do to warn people about the not-so-great beers that we find.
It's like a public service announcement, for sure.
You're goddamn welcome, people. So there's this place... This brewery called Evans. It's Evans Brewing Co. I don't know if you've heard of them. I had not before I found this beer on the shelf. And the beer in question is called the Oaklore Brown Ale. And You know, I'm pretty sure it's a beer by hipsters. It's got some pretty hip shit on the label. It was brewed in Irvine, California. It's got a whole paragraph on the back of the beer about you getting thirsty when chopping down trees, which I've never met a fucking person where their profession is that they're a professional lumberjack. I've never met anyone who's ever said that before.
Fun fact, my biological father, Matt, was actually a lumberjack.
I did not know that, but I never met him. So
no, well, me neither. So there you go.
Awkward. So, this beer is, it's boring. It's really boring. It's the most bland, boring brown ale beer that I've ever consumed. And not that there's tons of bells and whistles that come with the brown ale. It's not typically anything special, but you know, you get your reputable brown ales out there. Newcastle is probably the most known, one of my favorites, Downtown Brown. They do have their own distinct taste to them. And this Evans, I have to look at the damn label here, Oak Lore Brown Ale. There's just nothing special. So if you feel like you want to drink, but then you want just a beer, but you don't want to get too fucking crazy, Evans Oak Lore Brown Ale is the thing for you. I'm gonna have to give it a thumbs down though, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, brown ales in general are just so spotty. I mean, that's almost what makes them interesting, is that you could get a six-pack and you can have one that's good and the next one that's bad. But
it's a gamble.
Yeah, but that's kind of the excitement. This sounds like it's just boring, like you said.
I was
bored listening to you.
And here's the thing, is that the thing, it's the goddamn label that drew me in again, Sam. It's so, folks, if you want to make a beer and you want to be successful in doing so, you don't even have to worry about making a decent beer. Just phone it in on the beer. Just focus on the label, because that's what drew me. I was like, this is a beer I've never had before, and there's cool shit on the label. Sold. And I'm never going to learn my lesson.
Well, I mean, sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes you judge a book by its cover, and you judge a beer by its label. And the label on the beer that I am actually reviewing this week is actually a pretty damn cool label, as I am reviewing El Segundo Brewing Company's Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA, which
crazy.
I think it's appropriate that we would actually have a beer on this particular show called Broken Skull, considering the story we're about to hear from Abel Jaramillo and his car accident of death. But this actually came as a recommendation from a Twitter follower named Bill Morrissey. Bill_Morrissey asked us to review this. And this is actually out of El Segundo, California, which is down south in Matt's neck of the woods, not up here in Northern California.
Near-ish to me, yep.
Yeah, it's available throughout the year. It's just kind of on a rotating basis, I guess, whenever they want to brew a new batch of it, or whenever Steve Austin just kind of like goes in there and starts flipping off everybody.
Right.
They just make more of this IPA. And this is the wrestler Stone Cold Steve Austin's signature beer. It is an India Pale Ale. It's an American IPA, 6.7%. So, you know, hearty, not robust, but a hearty alcohol content. I actually had this at a bar called Original Gravity a while back. And I remember, just like most IPAs, it does have that piney taste to it, a little bit like Pliny the Elder,
sure,
for a reference sake. But unlike Steve Austin, who is very memorable, I actually thought this was somewhat of a forgettable beer, somewhat of a gimmick beer, which makes sense considering it's a wrestler-themed beer, that it would be a gimmick. But I let me put it this way. I don't think this beer would be anywhere or have the success it had if it didn't have Steve Austin's name behind it.
Right.
I think if it was just, you know, a Broken Skull IPA and had nothing to do with Stone Cold Steve Austin, it would just be very forgettable. It'd be a beer that's at a local bar here, there, and everywhere. You take it, and some people would like it, some people wouldn't. It's just what it is. A middle of the road IPA, as far as I'm concerned. It's got all kinds of different hops in it, which is cool. You know, I always like when they mix different types of hops in it. But it's not bad. It's not great. I would give it definitely thumbs, definitely in the middle.
A
sideways thumb. Yeah. I mean, I think it's something that if you can find a better beer at your local brewery or your local beer drinking spot, by all means, go for it. Lord knows I can definitely find something better than this on most occasions. But if you're forced with drinking something like a Coors Light or a Heineken or maybe even like a Newcastle, definitely go with Broken Skull IPA. It's definitely a middle of the road. It is the yellow line in the middle of the road.
But it's not a Stone Cold Stunner.
No, it's definitely not something that's going to jar your neck and make you fall backwards in pain or anything like that. It's definitely not going to make you want to climb to the top rope and celebrate with thousands and thousands of people. It is not the champion. It is not the jobber. It is definitely a mid-card type of beer as far as I'm concerned.
I'll never forgive myself for that joke. That was awful.
It wasn't a great joke, but that's okay because it's not a great beer. So why would you have a great joke for a not great beer? It doesn't.
That's
make
what
any
I meant
sense.
To do. That's exactly what that was my intention.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Kind of a depressing beer review here on What's on Tap. Matt gives his a thumbs down. I give mine a thumbs in the middle. What we do have is a thumbs up interview with Abel Jaramillo here on Happy Hour. I don't know what else to do other than to let you guys just listen to this nonsense. And after you're done listening to this and you can pick your jaw up off the floor, we will be back here to talk about stupid drunken news. Matt will say a movie thing, and we have a first celebrity death here in 2017 that we will be bringing to you. So take a look at this with Abel Jaramillo and myself, and we'll see you guys on the other side.
Enjoy.
Long time listeners of this podcast will remember that Abel was one of the very first guests on this show way back in season one. I think he actually did two or three episodes back to back to back. We were just sitting there recording and broke it into two or three different episodes. And it's been a while since he's been on the show, and I'm wondering if people are wondering why you're back on the show. Well, first of all, it's my show, so I can bring on whoever I want, whenever I want.
That's a good point.
Then the main reason I have Abel on the show is that not too long ago, now the show's called Predictably Drunk, as you guys know, smart people talking about stupid things. Abel is not much of a drinker, correct?
Yes, I socially drink.
Yeah.
And even when I socially drink, there's still beer in my cup at the end of the night.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to have two beers in one night, you're like, wow, I'm having a heavy drinking night, where I'm like, oh, cool, I'm having a very light night of drinking.
Yeah, like you just got in the car. Like that would be, had your two, woo, let's go drive. And I'm like, oh, man, I need to sit down.
Correct. So you're not opposed to drinking. It's just not your main vice, if you will. So the reason I have this is that Abel was out drinking with myself and Kabir Kabizi Singh. We were out, we'd finished a comedy show, and to be more accurate, we had finished a comedy show where we were drinking, and we went to a bar, and then we finished drinking at the bar, and I was the driver. I was totally fine to drive, so I decided I would drive you home as well as Kabir home.
Yes, you had six beers, so you were...
Over the course of, like...
30 minutes.
That's not true at all, but... we were driving home, and we're all just, you know, we've all known each other for a number of years now. And
I'd been drinking with you guys that day.
Yeah.
I'd been doing shots. We're doing Jack.
Correct.
And some other dude showed up. We did him. What was his name? Jeff. Jack and Jeff. We did both of those guys. And then we started drinking more. So it was a good time.
So I wouldn't say it was the amount of drinking that would lead to the story that you admitted to while we were driving home. So just to kind of set the scene, I'm driving. Abel is in the passenger seat, and Kabir is in the back seat because he's a weirdo who likes to sit
in the back
seat.
Yes, I think that's part of the Asian, him growing up in Asia and having that. They just like to sit in the back seat, whether there's someone in the front seat or not.
Yeah.
They just feel more comfortable. They feel like if they get hit from behind, they're not going to see it, so they're going to die anyways. No big deal.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the logic or not, but we can go with that.
I just tell you I was Indian? I'm Indian. I'm telling you. I'm from Fremont.
You might know. So we're driving, and out of nowhere, I would say out of nowhere, Abel just says...
I don't think it was out of nowhere, but yes, it was definitely... There was a point where it was brought up. I think we were asking about weird stuff that we had done that ended up actually being against the law, or some would say illegal.
I mean, we were having a conversation about, you know, waxing poetic about our past and how we were rebels and the different shit that we had gotten into. And out of nowhere, Abel goes, well, I once hit a dude with my car. And we're all thinking, like, you mean like a car accident? And Abel's like, no, I legitimately ran him over.
Correct.
So the silence was deafening in the car because Kabir and I are like, are we hanging with a murderer right now? Like, we're not sure exactly. We're like, Abel, you need to explain yourself further. And then for the next 15 minutes, Abel proceeds to tell us the craziest story about him driving, running over a man, stopping to see what is going on and finding other dead bodies in the street, and somehow you're not in jail?
Correct. This is the good part about being half white is that I have a little bit of privilege. It's a very small amount, but it's mine, and I use it when I can. I didn't actually run the person over versus I clipped them, but I did travel over the person who had already gotten run over.
So you hit the person that was living.
Correct.
With your car.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
yes.
ran over the person that at this point you didn't even know existed, who was already dead.
Yes.
And you ran over that person.
I ran over that person. When we say that, we think of like glunk glunk.
Yes.
There was none of that. I literally ran over her without touching her.
So she was a skinny person.
She was in a very she was in a yoga pose that most living people could not pull off.
Okay, so spoiler alert, dead bodies everywhere. So how did this happen? So set the scene. How long ago was this?
This was in the late 90s. I want to say 99. Young Abel was 21, 22. And this was when I was right in my really, really peak form of throwing a lot of money at naked women in the city of San Francisco.
Okay, so you were at a strip club.
We were at the strip club. We went to Century, I believe, that night, and then ended it at Mitchell Brothers, which was, if you know anything about such places, you're probably clapping your hands and nodding your head right now.
If you are listening to this and you're clapping your head and nodding your head.
Clap your head. Please clap your head.
Well, that's you clap somebody's head on the front of your car, which is the whole reason why we're here right
now.
That is
true.
What I meant to say, if you're nodding your head and clapping your hands, put them back on the steering wheel so that you don't do exactly what Abel did in this story. So you were at the strip clubs in San Francisco. You are making an investment in a young lady's future career.
Yeah, she was going to technical school. She was learning to be a DJ.
Yes, and you were with friends.
I was with 7 of my friends.
That's a lot of friends.
A lot of friends. We had one ride there, one transportation. I was a transportation there. I had a blue F-150 truck with a camper shell.
So you had 7 people in a pickup truck. Are you sure you're not Mexican and instead of Indian?
We are very Mexican.
Yes.
That's where the actual Mexican part. And it was full of Mexicans, let's be honest. Except we were fancy. We had actually taken showers before we left to the club as to attract the hooers with our manly, lovely French scent.
It's a life tip, ladies and gentlemen. Shower before you go out, and people will be less offended by your being, I suppose.
Well, the thing is, you won't have to spend as much money. You know, if you're just a regular stinky Mexican, you're going to have to put a lot of ones out there. But if you're like, you know, okay, this I can actually give this guy a lap dance without leaving with a funk on me, I'll knock a couple bucks off.
No, well, that's good to know. I did not know that. But, okay, so you leave the strip clubs.
We leave the strip club. It's 2 in the morning.
2 in the morning. Okay.
So we can't even get alcohol. We get alcohol, though. We go to the corner store, bang, grab a 12-er, throw it in the truck, and we proceed to drive home.
Now, that being said, you were not drunk by any means.
No, had not been drinking, smoked a lot of weed,
okay,
which is normal. There is a bar on the corner, so my boys went to the bar, had shots, came back into the club, back and forth, but I was not drinking. I am, and mostly all the time, is the DD.
Right, so you were driving back. You're fine to drive. Even though other people were drinking, you were not. Totally fine. You get across the bridge. You're heading back towards the East Bay. And what freeway are you on when this happens?
We're going 880 South.
Okay.
We are just coming up on the 238 intersection, which is, I believe, like San Leandro, Hayward.
Correct. Right there where most people, if they're living in like the East Bay, would take that to go over to 580, go into Dublin, Livermore, Pleasanton, etc.
Correct.
You were going to continue to go south towards Fremont.
Fremont, yes.
Okay.
Going southbound on Fremont. It was actually raining. Not hard, but it was raining. And we were in the number 2 lane.
Setting the scene, ladies and gentlemen. 2 in the morning.
2 in the morning.
Number 2 lane.
Now it's not even 2 in the morning. It's like 2:30 in the morning.
Correct, because time. Yes.
Because time. Boys are drinking in the back, right? Because you can. You know what I mean? It's a truck. It's got a camper show. You can drink in the back.
No, I don't think legally you can, but that's fine.
You know what? I'm going to have my guy call your guy to straighten you out.
Look, I mean, you hit a guy and you're not in jail.
Obviously,
so
I know what I'm talking about.
You know the law.
Yeah. So the fellas were having a party in the back. Shotgun, he had a beer. We're driving. all of a sudden, I see the cars to the left and to the right of me swerving towards the shoulders.
So the other vehicles on the road at 2:30 in the morning going left and right to avoid something.
Something. So I figure there's glass in the road. So there's some kind of something in the road, except I look up and my lane has a guy going. He's in my lane.
So the guy in front of you is just going straight?
Going straight.
Okay.
2:30 in the morning, going straight. I'm staying in that lane.
You're following him.
He's going.
He's the leader.
He's going.
Yeah.
So as we pull up on him, Shotgun looks at me and goes, "Hey, I think that car stopped." I think to myself, it's 2:30 in the morning. Who the fuck parks their car in the freeway?
Now, this is the car that was in front of you?
Correct. The one that I thought, all right, maybe something fell off of them. That's why, because there were several cars to the right and to the left that pulled off. Like, three in front of me to the right and two to the left. So I'm thinking there's something in the freeway.
Yeah, something.
There's something there. So as I pull up on them, car stopped. And I, now my reflexes kick in. I go, car stopped. I need to move out of the way. Yank it to the right. Get in that lane. Straighten it out. As I go to straighten it out, I hear a boom. And it was a little bit, it was a lot louder than that. It was more like, boom.
Right, as one would imagine hitting somebody.
Yes. It was right on the corner of the actual truck. I went to go look in the mirror to see what I had hit, except the mirror was gone.
Well, the mirror hit it too then, I suppose.
Yeah, he took the mirror with him. We pulled over. We shit our pants. Everyone shit our pants.
You guys had, it was like anybody sleeping in the car at the time of this?
No. No.
See, like, I would have pretended to sleep. Like, if I was in your car and I knew that you hit something.
You'd have went possum.
I would have possumed out. You know Boom. Me. I would have fetal position, thumb in mouth.
Wake up, Sam. Wake up, Sam.
I was asleep. I don't even know how we got to the city.
Where are we?
Yeah.
Who is this?
So everyone's awake. Everyone's aware that you hit something. At this point, do you think you hit, like, a dog or?
I don't know what the fuck I hit.
You just Honestly, know you hit something.
I saw a flash that looked like it was a white t-shirt or a white shirt. It, like, super quick.
And dogs,
like,
don't wear white t-shirts.
Well, they're not that tall either. Like, this is a truck. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if that dog's running around, it's a goddamn gazelle or has horns on it. It's some kind of mountain goat. I don't know. It's big. So we pull over. We get out. We pour out of the truck because the guys jump out the back. Me and Shotgun jump out Shotgun. And we're looking at the freeway. And by this time, all the cars are stopped. Stopped to the right of us, on the opposite shoulder, and behind. So now, like, traffic isn't coming through. There's maybe one, I think there was one car that came through. And we look, and there is the lady, and she is not with us anymore.
So do you think at this point, when you see the lady, and she's clearly dead, do you think that she is the thing that you hit?
Negative.
No, so you're like, there's no way I killed that lady.
Didn't even, like, when I jumped out, I looked and was like, holy shit, there's something in the road.
Right.
And I literally was in that lane. I was in that lane driving, and I did not, and it was, I mean, she was, it was a person.
It was a mess.
It wasn't a mess. Everything was still together, but she was there, and she was just in a yoga, like I said, she was in a yoga position that you cannot recreate if you're that flexible. Yeah. And then I look to the left, and I see a dude that's off his bike, and he's picking up a guy that's moaning and, like, in the middle of the freeway. He's just to the right of her. So he's almost in the exit lane. That would be the number 3 lane. And he's getting pulled off by him. By this time, my boys are flipping. I'm flipping out.
So at this point, you know that you hit.
That guy.
You hit the guy.
Oh, yeah. It's plain.
And he's
still
alive.
He was wearing the same shirt. He's still alive. He's moaning. He's not, I mean, not screaming, but he's like, you can tell he's in pain.
Right.
He is hurt.
He sounds like he got hit by a fucking car.
He never got the full brunt. It sounded like he got hit by a fender and a mirror he didn't see coming.
Right.
Because that shit hurt. You know what I mean? He took that whole mirror off. That shit was gone.
How fast were you going at the time? Do you know?
The freeway speed. I was slowing down, so I had to have been going at least, I want to say, 70. I was slowing down. I was probably down to at least 55 when I got into the lane. And I didn't, once I got into the lane, I didn't slow down any, you know what I mean? I didn't add more brake. I probably let the brake off. and was just using my own truck power to keep me going forward.
So you were coasting at a smooth 50-55 or so.
Had to be at least.
Okay.
At least.
So you guys are out of the truck. You guys are freaking out. You had processed the fact that there's a dead person in the street that you did not hit, that you drove over.
Well, I didn't know that for fact.
Right.
But I felt really super confident that I didn't hit her. I didn't know how she got there.
Right.
But I know that there was never a moment where
you it wasn't a speed bump or
it
hit.
Was never
right.
It was smooth.
So she's dead. This guy's alive. He's being helped to his feet. There's witnesses everywhere. It's 2:30, 2:45 in the morning.
There's at least 10 people now, not including the 7 that are with me.
So what happens next?
We debate on what to do.
Should we leave?
Should we stay or should we go? We get rid of the leftover beer. We throw that over the fence.
I think that's probably wise if I was you in that decision, yes.
At one point, someone thought it was smart to try and stuff the beer between the cab and the bed. So there was actually alcohol everywhere. There was beer everywhere. And I don't know who, like, you know that little crack between?
Right.
Yeah, they thought
lose my keys and everything in there.
Yeah, it's right. It's where you can open the back of your window and then the cab comes out.
So right.
Yeah, they thought that was a good idea.
Shove it right in between.
Shove it right in between, because then you won't be able to find it.
Sure.
And it'll be gone.
Yeah, investigators would never be able to find that.
Yeah, they'll be like, that's my dad's. So we make the decision. I make the decision. We go home. We dip.
So you left before the cops get there?
Yes. Plenty of witnesses. At least, like I said, at least 10, not including.
Did you swap insurance info with the guy you hit?
I went to go talk to him. He really didn't have much to say, but ow and and.
So he was uncooperative, I would say.
I'm going to say yeah. And you know what? I didn't have a card at the time to leave. I was 24. I was obviously coming from the strip club. I was broke. So, yeah.
So you guys leave. Everyone goes home. You get into bed.
No. We go after that. We leave. We get off of the freeway. We get off the freeway. We jump on 238. We drive down Mission Boulevard, right? We drive to my dad's house. I'm not living with my dad. We drive to my dad's house. We get out. The rain had stopped, but it was still muddy everywhere. My dad lives next to the train tracks. So we're actually in like this cul-de-sac-y, train tracky looking place. We get out. I tell the boys, get the camper shell off right now. I run inside. I wake my dad up at 3. Wake him up. He is a freeway. What is he? He paints stripes on the freeway.
Okay. He's a striper.
Okay, there you go. He does work. So he does the buttons. He does all the shit that at night when you think you're cutting through and making good time, this guy fucks up your time.
Right.
That's that guy. So he looks at me and I'm telling him what happened. I just hit someone on the freeway. Now he's pissed. He thinks I hit someone he works with.
Oh, so he's mad because, you're...
Well, I just woke him up and told him I hit someone on a freeway. He's putting two and two together. In his mind, people on a freeway...
Are him.
Are working on a freeway.
Right.
He doesn't do anything crazy, but he's like going, what are you talking about? What the fuck's going on? How could you do this? Who did he work for? How do you know? I don't know. I'm like, what are you talking about, bro?
Yeah. And now he's the weird one.
Yeah. So I explain to him what happened. I tell him, I'm going to do something. I don't know what to do. I'm going to do something. And he looks at me and he goes, you need to do the right thing. Figure it out. I'm going to let you be your own man. But you know what you got to do. And I said, okay. At that point, we called up more friends to come and pick us up. But we couldn't explain to them why we were getting picked up at my dad's house. But we had to call two other cars to come and get us.
Trust me. Come here now.
That is exactly what was said. There was no like, well, what do you mean? It's like, get up and come and get us. Okay.
So, obviously, this has to make the news. There's dead people in the road. There's witnesses.
It is around Christmas time.
It's around Christmas time. At what point does this become known by the authorities and the appropriate people that something happened?
Well, they had the guy that got mushed.
So the guy that you clipped.
He was talking on the news.
He was talking on the news.
They had a picture of my truck. Not of my actual truck, but it was like a composite picture. You know how you go and you're like, hey, can you build this face for me? They built the truck. And so I'm sitting there.
So they had a sketch artist draw your truck the assailant.
I think it was Legos, but something. Okay. Yeah. They had it on there. I'm sitting there. I'm watching the news. For the next like 3 days, we waited and watched the news every night. And so we're all sitting in my house.
It's unreal.
Yeah. We're all sitting in my house. And there it comes on. Boom. We are looking for this truck. And I'm going, oh, that's my truck. Now, in the meantime, okay, my father, being the badass dad that he was and always has been, has totally redone the truck, the mirror's back, the blinker's back. Everything is fine. The truck looks none the worse, right? The camper shell is off.
It's like Grand Theft Auto in that video game where you, like, kill something or you shoot somebody and the cops are after you and then you pull it into the paint garage and you pull it out and all of a sudden you're fine.
That was Pops, dude. Pops would do that shit. Like he did it all. When as we go on in the story, he even helps out later down the line. Like he hooked it up. So I waited, I saw it, he made the truck, you know, fine. And I figured out, all right, there's 7 people that know about this. At some point, it's going to come up somewheres. I need to go and do the right thing.
You need to murder your friends.
That was the first thing I thought of, right? Because what I was going to do is just back the car up into the mobile home that we were staying at and just leave it running.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So we didn't do that. I figured out, you know, what I was going to do. I needed a lawyer, you know. I even went to an aunt once, and I almost asked her for money for a lawyer. And I went to her house, hung out with her, and I backed out.
Well, that's the nice thing to do is not involve more family members into your crime syndicate that's going on here. So you eventually decide, took a little while, but eventually decide. I need to call the cops and let them know what had happened, my role in this calamity that's happening on the freeway.
Well, the thing is now they're calling the guy that owns a truck, like, manslaughter. They're throwing felonies out there. They're throwing big high-dollar words out there.
Now, was it reported on the news that this truck had killed the woman? Is that kind of what was being...
It insinuated, you know what I mean? It didn't say, this truck killed this lady.
Right.
But it said, this truck left. And this guy got hit and this lady went down.
Okay.
And so it was all a package. You know what I mean? You couldn't.
So if I was just a guy watching the news around that time, it would not be. It wouldn't be too far fetched to say, hey, some guy ran over this couple on the road. She's dead. He's in the hospital. And this guy took off. What a scumbag.
Yeah. And as soon as you saw that Lego picture of my truck, you'd be like, oh, it's a fucking Mexican.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be like, Beaner.
Got it. Okay. So. 5 days later, you call up the police, or do you go down to the station?
I go to the CHP. So I go to the CHP, and there's a certain person that you ask for. And I walk in, and I ask for that guy. I go, hey, is this guy here? And the guy looks back and goes, no, that guy's not here. And I said, oh, this is my name. Tell him I came by. And I proceed to go back home.
You didn't say why you came by?
No. Hey, I came inside.
I'm visiting.
Hey. Give me a call. So I went down there. We went, and by the time I got home, I was maybe home like 5 minutes, he called. He was there. We went to a fire station right around the corner from my house.
Okay.
And I made a statement.
So an official statement of what happened that night, coming from the strip club with my buddies, 2:30 in the morning. People are swerving everywhere. All of a sudden, I see something. I move. I hit the guy. I get out of the car. There's a dead lady in the middle of the road. This guy is awake and aware that he was hit by something. And I decided to go home and wait to call.
Yes. Pretty much, yes.
So did they arrest you on the spot for
negative.
This?
They didn't. I was never arrested. Like, put your hands behind your back.
Really?
I had to go actually turn myself in because once I got in front of the judge, he asked me that. Have you been arrested? I go, no. He's like, okay, you got to go turn yourself in and do
for leaving the scene of an accident, I think, at the very least.
I believe you got to at least somehow check into the system if they're going to, you know, do something to you.
Right.
They got to know who you are. If they're going to give you a bad time, they got to see a face and, you know.
I'm very confused as to how you have not been arrested officially for this.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I was never officially arrested. And then after, once my lawyer found out I did a statement, I think he pretty much got that, like, null and voided. And so they didn't have a lot. And then once they started asking the guy questions.
The guy who was hit.
Who was hit. The person that I hit, they started asking him, okay, well, how did this happen? He lawyered up. And he lawyered up real quick.
Interesting. So they asked him, why were you in the middle of the road, all of this, and then all of a sudden he clams up, because obviously there's something fishy going on with him, and he decides he no longer wants to talk to the cops beyond what
he's
already...
Well, he can talk to the cops about this case,
right?
But if you have any questions regarding up to him stepping into an F-150 in the middle of a freeway, he wants nothing to do with that.
So the woman and the man were obviously... I wouldn't say related, but they knew each other. How did they know each other?
They were married.
So it was a husband and a wife combination. Wife's dead. He's been hit by a car. But according to you, and according to how the story plays out, the wife was dead before you were even there.
They're guessing.
Okay. So what happened?
Apparently, how she got out was they were in a quarrel.
Fighting, yes.
Before, and they were coming from the city also. They had been kicking it, partying, drinking at...
a strip club?
A play.
Okay.
Which is, I'm sure, that version, you know what I mean? Like, that mid-40s version with you and your wife. Like, hey, let's go watch Studio 54. They got a titty in it.
Sure.
So, they're coming back. She's had back surgery, so she's on her meds. Plus, she's been drinking.
Oh, deadly combination.
Deadly
combination.
Literally. Deadly, quite literally. They have a Ford Explorer. They get into it. Something said. Bam, bam, bam. She opens her door and stands on the running boards. Because then Ford Explorers had running boards that came stock.
Right. So they're on the freeway. They get into an argument. According to him, at some point this comes out. According to him, they get into an argument. She decides to open the door in her pain medicine and booze-infused logic and step onto the running boards of this Ford Explorer while driving down 880.
Freeway, 880. And so she's got apparently 2 feet on the running board, one hand on the door, one hand on the chair, kind of hanging out, ghost riding the whip, if the kid's...
Crazy.
Okay. So I'm sure, like anyone else would do, this guy panics, hits the brakes.
Uh-oh.
She's not strong enough to hold on to the door and to the running board and to the chair. So she goes under.
So he hits the brakes because his wife is trying to ghost ride the whip, as you said, which I think is probably natural. Like, I got to stop the car because she's going to die. But slamming on the brakes was probably the worst thing he could have done.
Correct.
Because all that momentum basically got her grip off of the door. And so she hits into something and is whoop underneath the Ford Explorer on the freeway. So he ran over her.
Yeah. Yeah, you could say that. Yeah.
So.
But he stopped and then got out because he realized what had happened.
Yeah, I murdered my wife.
And that's how he ended up walking on the freeway. Like, it wasn't some strange bum who just, like, had to urinate because his camp was right there. Like, this dude stopped and parked his car, got out of the car because him and his old lady were going at it, and she went...
So, okay, I'm wrapping my head around this whole thing. This all happens how long before, do they estimate, before you come across this scene?
I don't know. That's a good question.
5, 10 minutes?
No, it because, like, I watched the cars, like it was like Moses. The cars went left and right in those two lanes, except for the one lane that I was in. So it had to have been, like... Very quick.
So how did he? So how far ahead was this then? Because if all these cars are moving left and right, like, oh my God, something.
No, he was back towards me. So the car was in front of me, and as I swerved into the lane, I was still in front of the car, maybe a good 80 feet. So he had already stopped and ran back, like he was going north on southbound 880.
Okay, so his car was stopped, and then. Obviously, she's in the road. People are parting left and right. He'd already pulled over, and he's running back to see what
to get her
on. Right. And then that's when you come along and clip him,
and go over her. Like, right. I went over her.
So, so all this comes out in court at some point. So, what happened to the guy that you ended up hitting?
I never like really chased that. I don't even know his name.
So we don't know if he's in jail. We don't know if he.
I mean, how do you go to jail for that? Like, that's like, if that's what happens, you can't put someone in murder for a reflex, or you can't put him in jail because, like, what's your, like, what are you going to do? Someone hops out the goddamn car. You're going to like, oh, wait, hold on. Let me hit, you know.
And you were never charged with anything.
No, I got charged. They charged me with a felony.
Okay.
So they charged me with felony hit and run. I showed up to my doorstep after my charges, and I had about maybe 15 of our local Argus newspaper with my name in the local section. Uh-huh. Fremont man, 21, is accused of, or no, not accused, or charged with felony hit and run. And I was like, holy shit.
So you make the newspaper. There's 15 of them sitting on your front porch as you get home.
Yes.
Obviously, this makes the news. You have to explain it to the family. You have to explain it to everyone involved. Did your friends get charged with anything?
No.
So they all are fine.
They all are fine. Everyone cooperated, and you know, no one, that nothing happened to them. They charged me with the felony. I went and got the lawyer. They were trying to give me like four-way search clause, take my license, like give me all this stuff. And so when we went to court, we were in the upstairs of Hayward, which is like the felony areas.
Okay.
And so I went in front with my lawyer to that felony judge, and he looks at the charges, and my lawyer says something to him. And then the judge looks at the DA and goes, you can't charge him with a four-way. You can't give him all this shit. You can't even, like, charge him with a felony. Like, all of these things are hearsay. He wasn't drinking. They literally took my entire inside of the truck apart. Like, removed the dash, removed every little part to try and find something.
Something that would nail you.
They took they went through the whole undercarriage of the whole truck. Went through it all, and my dad had to put all that shit back.
Oh, so that's the second part of him hooking
that's
it up.
That's the second part.
He came back and made your truck a truck again.
They rolled the son bitch down, and then it was all the stuff was inside it, but it was just a part.
Wow. And then they don't have any legal recourse to put it back together. Like, that's your problem.
That's your problem.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, guess what? You were right. You didn't do anything. You just didn't hit, because it was the truck was too high.
Yeah. Wow.
Skated.
So they basically, the judge throws out your felony charge.
Drops it down to a misdemeanor.
You get a misdemeanor hit and run.
We go downstairs.
So now you're downstairs.
That's the good part. When you're in Hayward, you don't want to be upstairs. Yeah. You want to be downstairs.
Less tattoos, less everything downstairs.
There's probably no violence involved downstairs. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Somebody
upstairs
got a parking ticket.
Yeah. You want to be downstairs. So downstairs goes down. Lawyer does his thing. I sit there. I sit, stand, kneel, whatever they, you know, kiss his ring. And I get about 6 months of weekends.
Okay, so you do have a little bit of jail time.
Yes. Six months of weekends and a $200 fine.
$200 to hit somebody who probably, you know, possibly had something to do with the death of somebody else?
That's karma? I don't know what you call that.
You might be a superhero. Like, you're like a Mexican Batman.
I am. I'm like a Punisher. I'm like a Mexican Punisher.
El Punisher.
Es Punisher.
You know,
es
Punisher.
The Es Punisher. He's good. Wow. He's a good guy. He drives the blue F-150. Sometimes it has a shell on it. Sometimes it don't. It's weird.
Well, we just had an episode where Matt Somerville, my co-host, got into two car accidents within a month. I believe this tops it.
Theme. Well, we're going with the theme.
The theme of the season is cars in general and traffic. So this story fits in so nicely. Now, you tell us this story. And again, I'm driving southbound on the freeway while this is happening. So yeah. I'm freaking the hell out. Like, I'm going to hit somebody. This is like too
everyone,
much.
Yeah. Kabir and you are both like,
we're dumb
besides yourself. Because I don't like, it's not like I go run around telling story like
no,
this.
No, like I've known you for years. I didn't know this story. So the next day, as is tradition when you hang out with Kabir Singh, is he will text you to tell you how much fun he had with you. Whether he did or not is irrelevant, but he'll tell you how much fun he had with you. My response to Kabir was, did Abel admit to killing a dude last night? Like, what happened with that story? And Kabir's text was so perfect. He goes, dude, what was with that story? He had one beer and admits to that. Never commit a crime with that guy, which is 100% true. I think you would rat us out after one shot.
Oh, no. I took all the blame. You can ask the other seven that are with us. I wrote it, so.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're not in jail.
Me too.
I'm glad that you didn't kill somebody, because that would have been a problem.
Not on purpose.
Yeah, And I'm glad you were able to tell that story here on the show, because that is a fantastic story. And if you guys want to check out Abel, you can check him out on January 19th at Tommy T's in Pleasanton as part of Desi Comedy Fest. Or shortly thereafter, he'll be appearing on 880 South in Fremont in the number 2 lane and somewhat in the number 3 lane. So,
yeah. And YouTube me. You can YouTube me. You can see really bad early stuff.
You can
online.
Check out his early videos of comedy on YouTube. Just check out Abel Jaramillo. That is with a J, not an H, you white people.
Yeah.
And Abel, thank you very much for admitting once again
to your felony. Statute of limitations is done, so we're good.
Yeah, felony. That's the key, ladies and gentlemen. You admit to this after the statute of limitations is up. So, well, that's happy hour.
Thanks for having me, bud.
Special thanks to Abel Jaramillo during happy hour. Matt, your thoughts real
quick.
Dude,
Jesus. Where do you start? I mean, okay, so when I listened to this, there were stages where I thought, okay, we're absolutely getting Abel incarcerated by releasing this story. Like, we have fucked up. We should never have aired this. But that was, you know, that was... early stages to mid stages of his story, and of course, as you know, audience, now by the end of the story, everything's okay. You know, Abel's fine. He great storyteller, by the way. That was one of the best interviews that Sam has ever done. I think it was very easy to listen to, and it's just, I'm glad we didn't really say anything before the interview, because you don't want to ruin anything. You know, I think that the surprise of each turn merits its own stage, if that makes any sense. And I mean, yeah, if you told me that a guy hit another guy with the fucking car, and that guy was not in a car, he was just walking around, and a person died on scene, it would be very difficult to convince me that he is an innocent man. But it turned out like it did, right?
So the messed up part about this entire story, and we didn't make it into the interview, but he told me this after we stopped rolling, was that he actually got arrested again in relation to this. Well, he didn't get arrested. What happened is Abel had moved to New York shortly after this, and then from New York he moved to Arizona, and he got a job, and they did a background check, and he said, sure, you know, do whatever you got to do. I got nothing to hide. Mm-hmm. Well, as it came back from the background check, they said, you know, you have a felony warrant out for your arrest. And Abel said, no, I had no idea. Well, as it turns out, his dad, who had helped him throughout this whole process, had refused to pay the $200 fine that Abel was talking about to the lawyer who got Abel out of this entire predicament, because basically Abel's dad, who's passed away, is kind of an old school guy, and said, no, you said your fee was this, and now you want an extra $200. And Abel had to explain to his dad, no, look, the $200 is for the fine that I had for hitting another human being with the truck. It's in addition to what we pay the lawyer. So he almost got arrested and spent more time in jail for a $200 fine that he didn't pay than for hitting an actual human being.
Well, listen, he had the opportunity to live in the Bay Area and then New York, and he fucking settled on Arizona, so I think he had it coming.
Yeah, you should get arrested for those life decisions. I agree with that.
Not good.
But once again, thanks to Abel Jaramillo for the story and for admitting to his multiple crimes here on Predictably Drunk. We appreciate it. We also appreciate this man. Speaking of crimes, we are here in stupid drunken news. We're going to go to Dundalk, Maryland, Matt.
What's that now?
Dundalk. D-U-N-D-A-L-K.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently that's a place in Maryland. And Maryland is apparently a place in the United States, although I
say so.
You know, I would never believe it, and then I read this story, and I'm like, yeah, that's the most American thing I have seen in a very long time. I'm going to go ahead and start, like I always do, reading you the headline from this story from the Associated Press. Man barricades himself in house after family members take bite of his grilled cheese sandwich. Yes, that is the headline. You read it right. A Maryland man has been arrested following an hours-long standoff with law enforcement that police say...
Hours-long?
Yes. I will get to that in a second.
Sorry.
Hours-long standoff with law enforcement that police say began when a family member took a bite from his grilled cheese sandwich. Now, anybody eats any of your food, it's infuriating. So I kind of understand why this guy would be so upset, correct?
Yeah.
Well, Baltimore County Police spokesman Sean Vinson said the dispute began around 5 p.m. Sunday, perfect time for a grilled cheese sandwich, by the way, at a Dundalk home. He says the man was eating with his wife and daughter and became angry when one of them took a bite from a sandwich, prompting him to fire a shot inside the house.
Son of a bitch. Hold on. We're stopping. First of all, any time is a good time for a grilled cheese sandwich. Let's clear that up. Okay. And then second of all, it was potentially his daughter who took the bite of the sandwich, and he didn't give a shit. He still pulled out a gun and fired a weapon.
Well, what's interesting about this is it does not finger who took the bite. It just says one of them. It's like a game of Clue. We don't know if it was the wife or the daughter. I'm guessing the fact that he shot a gun, it had to have been the wife that ate the sandwich.
I hoped so. I'm not guessing. I'm just hoping.
Look, I have a daughter, and she can share any and all of my food. I don't have a wife, but that cunt better not touch my food.
Right.
Is my thought process.
Got it.
Yeah, exactly. So the story goes on to say the wife and daughter were able to safely leave the house, but the man barricaded himself inside. He surrendered peacefully shortly before 9 p.m., a four-hour standoff. No one was injured. The man was taken to the hospital for an evaluation, which I think makes sense. However, I'm thinking that the standoff was probably overblown. My thought is he shot the gun. They left. He barricaded himself inside the house. To finish his fucking sandwich in peace.
Right, right. Yeah, I was going to ask what the state of the sandwich was at the end of the standoff, because that's what's most important.
Yeah, well, nobody, it says no one was hurt. I'm including the sandwich was eaten.
Yeah.
And people moved on with their lives. But that is the story here for Stupid Drunken News, ladies and gentlemen. Maryland, we have people firing guns over bites of grilled cheese sandwiches.
Dundalk.
Dundalk. Yeah. That might be my next vacation spot. Speaking of vacation, there is a certain celebrity who is on a permanent vacation in the ground or in dust if they got cremated, and that is, of course, professional wrestler Jimmy Snooky.
Whoa. God damn it. I'm going to go ahead and say Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
I believe the Broken Skull IPA. There's too much wrestling on the show here tonight. It's getting to my head. The beer
and
is getting to be.
To speak on how he was released, if anyone in his family or his estate has any decency, they will have cremated him and then tossed the ashes off the top rope.
I was going to say, I believe they took the body and his remains and climbed to the top of the cage and threw them off the top of the cage onto Don the Rock Morocco, which is probably the most iconic image of Jimmy Superfly Snuka's career. If you guys do not know who this guy is, he was probably the biggest cruiserweight type of guy of all time. He was a high flyer. He jumped off the ropes a lot, wrestled with no boots on. But was also like super steroided up. He was like, he looked like Hulk Hogan, but flying through the air, like a Samoan Hulk Hogan, if you will.
His signature move was the frog splash.
No, it was just like a big splash. Like he would jump off the ropes and just land on him. And I guess the theory was that he was knocking the wind out of the other person, and then he would pin him. Probably most famous for that, as well as his cheetah print, as well as getting hit in the head with a coconut by the late great Hot Rod Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Nice.
On Piper's Pit. That's probably what he's most famous for, as well as jumping off the cage, which inspired a young Mick Foley who went on to be known as Cactus Jack, a.k.a. Mankind, a.k.a. Dude Love.
Of
the most iconic wrestlers of all time. But fun fact, ladies and gentlemen, and you can read the entire obituary from the Celebrity Death Pool on PredictablyDrunk.com, starting with Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Recently... had charges dropped, murder charges dropped against him roughly about a week or two ago, Matt, because the judge ruled that he was too sick to stand trial. But there's been a long kind of dark history with Jimmy Superfly Snuka murdering allegedly his girlfriend 30 years ago, and then portraying the role of a savage that he played on TV to the cops, pretending he couldn't speak English, pretending he had no idea what was going on, and getting away with it. So
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's a crazy kind of seedy side of a guy who was a fan favorite or a baby face within the wrestling industry for so long. 73 years old, pre-existing condition of stomach cancer coming into 2017, which means he is only worth about 13 points. Ladies and gentlemen, not a big contributor to your celebrity death pool here in 2017, but he is the first. So rest in peace, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, as well as the lady you allegedly murdered 30 years ago.
Yeah.
With that being said, Jimmy Superfly Snuka was in many movies, and that leads us over to the last part of this show, and that is where Matt says a movie thing.
Now, here is a motion picture film.
Great. I'll tell you folks how this goes. Sam shoots me a text. He's like, hey, you want to do an episode? I say yes. And then we don't revisit anything until about 10 seconds before we actually record the show.
Fact.
That's pretty accurate, right?
Yep.
So I just choose to completely forget about the fact that we're recording entirely, and I prep nothing save for that 10-second window. I can usually recall the last movie I saw. I haven't seen any movies since we last did a review on like fucking 8 of them or however many I chose to rattle off when I was obviously drunk and taking 9 years to review them. So in this scenario, I am not prepared at all. And I took the 2-second window that I had before Sam said, okay, we're recording, to remember a classic that I have always loved. I am always going to fall back on classics when I don't have better prepared a more recent film to review. So this week, and this is, I guess you could say that this is somewhat recent in recent news, because there is indeed a remake being made of this film. From the early 90s. I think it was 90, 91, around that time. The movie is called Jacob's Ladder. I don't know, Sam, if you have seen it or maybe even heard of it. Have you?
No, I'm wondering. I think I saw a guy named Jacob on a ladder the other day, but I have not seen the movie.
Okay, well, Jacob's Ladder, for anyone who's super religious, I'm not. It's a thing in a book called the Bible, I guess. Let that go. The name of the main character is Jacob Singer. He was in Vietnam. Some crazy shit happened. You see it in the opening of the film. You're not quite sure exactly what happened, but something went down and people died. And you quickly learn that he is still living with whatever happened in Vietnam in modern day New York, living with his girlfriend, who both work at the postal office, and he delivers mail. And you realize that it's not something that's just plaguing his mind. It's something that's plaguing his brain. There is something wrong with him as a result of whatever it is happened in Vietnam. And you see Jacob starting to see things that that probably aren't there in reality. This is a movie that fucks with the audience so much, because it does such a clever job at pulling the rug out from under you and pulling the curtain over your eyes. You think for sure this is what's happening. This is reality. This is now. And then all of a sudden the movie says, no, it's not. And to heartbreaking, sometimes heartbreaking degrees, where you think, okay, everything's fine, everything's happy, and the movie just fucking gut punches you and kicks you in the nuts and kicks you when you're down and spits on your face and says, no, fuck you, we're still playing my game. Amazing, amazing movie. I would say it would easily reach my top 25 of all time. The ending, great, great twist ending. You don't see it coming, and when it hits you, you're not mad, you're not sad, you're just blown the fuck away. Jacob's Ladder will freak you out. It will keep you guessing, and it will make you happy in the long run. Please, please, please watch the original before it is soiled by the remake, which will certainly not do it justice.
And the remake will probably eat the grilled cheese sandwich of the original, pissing yes. Matt off even further, and yet
guns
another
fired.
Standoff, gunshots fired, shit man down. Well, that is the show, ladies and gentlemen. Matt said a movie thing. We talked about the stupid drunken news. You heard everything in the happy hour with Abel Jaramillo, as well as our beer reviews over there on What's on Tap. You guys can check out the entire catalog on predictablydrunk.com, as well as my blog. You can also go to iTunes, rate and review this show. Give us 5 stars. Give us a nice review. Helps get this show out to more people. You can also go and, I don't know, away. You can go away. You can do that. That's a thing
away.
You can do.
You or can if also, you go away, come back.
Yeah, and then also come back on February 9th, which I believe is a Tuesday. I will be at the San Jose Improv doing comedy thing. So until then, until next time, everybody, keep drinking. Where the hell is Ross Baker?
Ross Baker, you sack of shit.
You've been listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things with your host, Sam Marcoux, and that other guy. What was his name again? Oh, it doesn't matter. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and find the complete catalog on predictablydrunk.com. Until next time, keep drinking. Passenger, that's pale rusetic. I don't think that anyone or anything is good enough. We perceive the life we live in terms of all.